Okay, today's daf is Yevamos daf Kuf Ches. We are holding at the Mishnah toward the bottom of daf Kuf Zayin and Beis. Today we're going to talk about Miyun, the refusal of a young girl who's been married off in a Drabanan way to stay married. We're going to talk about the Nusach of the Miyun, the way that the Miyun can be done. The Gemara is going to talk about what if a girl has Kiddushin after the Miyun, then it's going to talk about Miyun La'achar Kiddushin o Nisuin, meaning if she has Kiddushin and Nisuin to the first husband, and then Miyun with the second husband, what sort of effect that has, and we're also going to talk about whether Nisui Ketana is considered Nisuin at all when a girl, when a Ketana gets married on her own without her mother or brother, what status that has. And the Gemara is going to spend some time defining a line in the Mishnah, the last line in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah is going to say something about an Akava Shehimina Ish and Akava Shehimina Isha. That's something that holds her back from based on the husband, and something that holds her back based on herself. And we have to define what that's talking about. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph and the entire Amud Beis is going to talk about Miyun being mevatel a get, meaning what if a person gets divorced from a woman and then she has miyun either with him or with somebody else, what effect that has on the iser of machzir grushaso. So let us begin at the Mishnah Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. Ezo hi ketana shetzricha lema'in. Who is a ketana that has to do miyun? Kol shi siyua ima v'yachil l'dayta. If her mother or and brother married her off l'dayta with her own approval, so then she needs miyun. Hi siyua shelo l'dayta. If they never bother asking her approval and they just married her off, then she doesn't even require miyun. The whole thing is not even valid midrabanan, meaning the whole takana that they can marry her off on a drabanan level is only if she is if she approves of the marriage. Otherwise, she's mutaris l'shuk even without any miyun whatsoever. Rabbi Chanin ben Antigonus Omer, kol tinoka shein yichol lishmar kiddusheha, any young girl that's too young to be able to watch over her kiddushin, meaning let's say you gave her a ring or a shtar for kiddushin, so she's too young to be able to watch over it. The Rambam in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Isha says, meaning up until the age of six, the Ritva in the Yom Shel Shlomo says that we could be mechalik if she's mekadeshes atzma, then it has to be the age of six. But if her mother and brother are mekadesh her, then it's not tali on being the age of six. Rather, you give her it's tali on the age of giving her an egos vinotelas evin vizorakas, that she knows to throw away things that aren't food, but eat that which is food. So that shows just a certain basic level of das. But whatever the age is, if she's not at that age yet, then she doesn't even require a miyun. She's able to be muteris to get married to whoever she wants afterwards, even without a miyun, because the kiddushin is not even chal on a drabanan level. Rabbi Elazar Omer, ein maisa katana klum. Any nisuin that Katana does on her own, the husband is not considered to be her husband at all. He has no zuchus in that marriage. Ela kemafuta, she's considered to be like a mafuta, like someone that he has convinced to have beer with him, but is not a marriage at all. And therefore, Bas Yisrael leKohen, if she is a Bas Yisrael who supposedly is married to a Kohen as a Katana, lo tochal b'truma, she cannot eat truma because she's not really married to the Kohen. The Maisa Katana doesn't count as anything. Bas Kohen liYisrael, if she's a Bas Kohen and has this relationship with the Yisrael, tochal b'truma, she still eats her father's truma, because again, she's not considered married. So even though she needs miyun, but she's not considered ki'ishto with regard to anything that with regard to any of the zechuyos that a husband would normally have. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, kol akava shehimina ish. If anything that holds her back based on him, ki'ilu hi ishto, then she's considered like his wife. Kol akava she'ina mina ish, ki'ilu eina ishto. Anything that's not from the man, she's not considered his wife. So that's a very cryptic statement. The Gemara is going to spend some time discussing what that means toward the end of Amud Aleph today. We're going to discuss what that line means. Amr Rav Yehuda va'amri lo b'masnisa tana. Rav Yehuda, and some say that it was taught in a brisa, but Rishono Yikosin get miyun. And originally, when they would write a get miyun to let it be known that the miyun was done properly, they would write lo rayana bei, v'lo tzaviana bei, v'lesana bei lisnas v'lei. They would write that she says that I don't have any desire for him, I don't want him, I don't want to be married to him, But given the Chazu Dinavish Dibura, once they saw that this is a lot to write in a Shtar Miun, Amri, so Chazal came along and they said, Asi L'chlufei Begita, that this is not a good idea, because people are going to confuse this for a get, and they're going to write a get, a regular get, in a Nusach of a get Miun, and they're not going to know that there's a difference between the text of a regular get and the text of a get Miun, which is only Midr Abanan. That's how Rashi and Tosus understand. The Ritva explains that the Chashash is that they're going to think that Miun is a get, and they're going to say that there's no Kiddushin Tovsin on the brothers of this guy who she did Miyun on because she was married to him and she had a get from him. Not that, not like Rashi and Tosfos say. That's how the Ritva says that it's a concern about the marriage to the relatives. All the Rishonim deal with the issue of why are we concerned that Sofrim who write a get, people who write a get, they have to have training, they have to know what a get is, they're normally people who know something. You don't just have anybody to write a get, that they're going to make a mistake between a get miyun and a real get. So Rashi and Tosfos say, so for bor, we're dealing with a total amaritz. It could be that there are people that are involved in these things that don't know what they're doing. So because of that concern, to kinu achi, they were misakin to change the nuchsuch and to write, biyom ploni miyana plonis bas ploni ban pana, that on this day, this girl did miyun in front of us, and that's a shorter version. It seems not only a shorter version, but it changes the whole nature of it. Who's talking in the shtar? Is it the person? Is it the girl talking? I don't want this. I don't want. Or is it the edim talking that in front of us this and this happened? You have different shtaros that are written by in a ksuba. It's all I, the husband saying, I'm going to do. So it's all him talking, right? And sometimes you have where it's not the person talking, it's the Edom talking. It's the Edom saying that we, you know, in front of us, that this happened. In fact, the ksub, it's not him talking, it's the Edom saying that he has committed, that the Eich Shachasan, so and so, has committed to do this. In fact, that's why the minhag is on shtaros, whenever it's the person who's involved in the transaction talking, we have to, when the edim sign, they have to write at the end of their name, they write the word aid, because otherwise it sounds like it's just the guy involved in the transaction talking. So they write the word aid to show, no, we're signing as an aid. When it's the edim themselves talking, you don't have to technically write the word aid after the name because it's kosher anyway, even without the word aid. And yet by ksuba, our minhag is, even though it's really not so necessary, but our minhag is, we write the word aid after the signature of the edim on the bottom line of a ksuba. But it seems like they changed the whole nusach, the whole nature of the nusach of the get miyun over here. Okay, three lines from the top. Tan rabbanan, ezu miyun. What is an example of a nusach, a proper nusach of a miyun when the katana says it, that that's going to be considered like a get where she'll be able to leave the husband? Amra ef she beploni baili, if she says I am not interested in this husband, or ef she bekidushin she kedushuni yimi v'achai, even if she doesn't mention the husband at all, she says I'm not interested in the kedushin that my mother and brother gave me off to. So that is a proper nusach of mean. Yes, okay. Amra biuda afilu yoshevis b'apirion, even if she was never with the husband yet, she's sitting on the special chair that they carry a kala to the chuppah to. On va'alechas in beis aviyah lebeis ba'alin, and she's going from her father's house to her husband's house. Va'amran, she says at that point, ef she beploni ba'ali, I don't want this husband. And there's room to argue that, hey, if you don't want him, jump off the chair and run away. What are you going through with this marriage for? But she says it at that point, zeu miyun, that's considered a valid miyun, even though she's still going through with it. She's sitting on the chair and letting them carry her to the wedding. Why is she doing that? So nevertheless, we still say that it's a valid miyun. Miri says, but Taka, why is she doing it? If she really isn't interested, why doesn't she go away? So Miri says, well, it's embarrassing, right in the middle of the ceremony, to be a runaway bride, right? And that's an embarrassing thing to do, even if you're not really interested in the marriage. Rav Zilberstein Chashukei Chemed has a maisa where a kala under the chuppah notices for the first time that the chassan has a wooden leg. She didn't notice it before while they were dating. And she says to her father, "Dad, this guy has a wooden leg. I'm not really so interested in that." And her father says, "Quiet, there are hundreds of people here. You're going to embarrass us if you run away now." So the question is, does she need to get afterwards? Meaning she never was masking to the Kiddushin, but it was embarrassing. So he quotes this Mi'iri, that you have such a thing that a person sometimes has no interest in being there, but will still be there because they have less interest in being embarrassed than they're not wanting to be there. So anyway, so yes, al kenam Rabbi Yehuda, filu hayu orchin mesubin beis baila. Not only if she's going toward the wedding, but even if you have guests that are sitting in the husband's house, v'yo medesu mashkalem, and she's serving them, v'amr lehem yef shibu ploni baili, and she says to the guests, "I don't like this husband. I don't want to be with him." Harehu miun, that's considered a miun. So the chiddush of this is that even though she wasn't in front of Beis Din, and there are no edim over here, and the guests are not edim, they didn't, they're not going to let the husband know that she was ma'anis or anything like that. They're not serving in any official capacity, and still that's a valid miyun. Yes, okay, no, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says even more than that. Even if the husband sends her to run an errand to buy something for him from the store, va'amran, this little girl who's married says, she says to the storekeeper, "You know, I don't want this guy. I don't want to be married." Even though it's not even in front of more than one person. It's only in front of one person. And there's room to say that the reason she's saying this, Rashi points out, is because she's annoyed that her husband's sending her on errands and she's not interested in doing errands. Still, that's the highest level of miyun. That is absolutely a good miyun. Okay, so that's a little bit about the nusach and the ofen that one can that a woman could do, that a girl can be mima'enes. The Mishnah said, "Rabbi Chanan ben Tikva Somer called Tinokes." The Mishnah went on to say that any girl that's not able to be shomer her kiddushin does not require miyun. If she's too young to even be able to guard her own kiddushin, she's not going to require miyun. Am Rabbi Dor Shmuel halach Rabbi Chanan ben Tikva. We paskin like Rabbi Chanan ben Tikva. If she's too young, her miyun doesn't count for anything. Tana, we learned in a brisa, Katana Shalom Yenavam Davini says, if you have a Katana that did not do miyun, that she never refused the marriage to the husband, and then she goes and she gets married to someone else. Mishum Rabidu Mesera Amru Nisueha Hein Miuneha. She doesn't have to do miyun. The fact that she got married is the strongest form of objection to her previous marriages you could possibly have. So she doesn't need to say Ef Shibaila. She went and got married to someone else. Obviously, she doesn't want to stay with the first husband. Ibailu niskadcha mahu. But they weren't sure, what about if she only took kiddushin from someone else? So when he said nisueha hein hein miu now, does he mean dafka the nisuin? Because by nisuin, your mamish being, she's nechnesis to the rishus of a new person, but maybe if she only has kiddushin, that's not considered miun? Or do we say, no, nisuin in the sense that we use it colloquially, that she got married, any part of marriage, whether it's kiddushin, whether it's nisuin, either way, that's a valid form of miyun. So Gemara says, Tashmel, bring a raya from a brisa. Ketana shlo miyun avamda v'niskadcha. Mishum redubim say ramur kiddusha. Hein hein miyun neha. You see explicit in the brisa that it's not only nisuin, that even kiddushin, kiddusha, hein hein miyun neha. Just doing an act of kiddushin is also considered to be a miyun. Yibayilu. So then they raise the following shayla. Pligi rabbanan leid rabbi dubim say ralo. Did the rabbanan disagree with rabbi dubim say ra? Or is it just that the Tana quotes rabbi dubim say ra because we heard it from rabbi dubim say ra, but the rabbanan also agree that if she has kiddushin after, instead of doing miyun, the kiddushin counts as a miyun. Maybe everyone agrees to it. And if the Rabbanan disagree, so b'kiddushin o afil b'nisuin, do the Rabbanan disagree and say kiddushin is not a valid form of miyun, but they agree with the halach and the Mishnah that nisuin is a valid, with our, the halach of Rabbi Yehuda Maseri, that nisuin is a valid form of miyun, or do they disagree on both? Vimtim Salomar Pligi Afil B'Nisuin, and if you're going to say that they disagree even with Nisuin, that neither is a valid form of Miyun, well then, Halach Kamoso and Halach Kamoso. And that, well, if it's a Machlokas, we need to know who to Paskin like. Do we Paskin like Rabbi Dibam Seira and say that Kiddushin and or Nisuin, either Kiddushin or Nisuin, is enough to be count as a miyun? Would we pass like the rabbanon that neither is enough to count as a miyun? Vimtim salam alach kamoso. And even if we're going to paskin that like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, still we have another safek b'nisuin. What do we mean alach kamoso? If they're arguing both in case of nisuin and kiddushin, b'nisuin or afilu b'kiddushin, do we pass like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira only if she accepts a nisuin from someone else and count that as a miyun, or do we only paskin like him if she accepts a kiddushin from someone else and count that as a? I'm sorry. Even if she accepts only a kiddushin from someone else, or only if she accepts a nisuin from someone else, but if she were to accept a kiddushin from someone else, we would paskin like the rabbanon. So we have all these sfeikos in terms of whether there's a machlokas, and if there is a machlokas, who do we paskin like? So Tashma says the Gemara will bring a raya. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halach Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, halach mechal de pligi. So right off the bat, you see the fact that we say halach Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira tells us that there is at least a machlokas between the rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So that's why we need to determine who the paskin like. So when Shmuel says that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the Rishonim understand that he's talking about both if she accepts a kiddushin and if she accepts a nisuin. That in either case we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. That in either case Shmuel would paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira that she no longer requires a miyun, and the Rabbanan would argue on both cases. But we paskin like across the board. So now we've satisfied all our imtim tzilomers. We weren't sure if there's a machlokas. And if there is a machlokas, whether the machlokas applies by both kiddushin and nisuin. The answer is yes, there is a machlokas, and yes, machlokas applies across the board. We weren't sure how to paskin. And if we do paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, do we only paskin partially or totally like him? And the answer is we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira entirely, both by kiddushin and by nisuin. Vakati to bailach, but still we have a suffix within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. When we say that it works to accept kiddushin or nisun from someone else, that counts as a miyun. To have a nesiva meikaro dilma mikadsha. Does that count as a miyun when she was a nesua from her first husband, and even then doing such a miyun where she never actually expresses verbally that she doesn't want to be with this husband, she just takes a marriage from another husband, that counts as a miyun? Is that only if she only had kiddushin with the first husband, or even if she had nisuin with the first husband? Meaning, is such a weak form of miyun only enough to uproot a previous kiddushin, or is such a weak form of miyun even enough to uproot a previous nisuin? So Gemara says Tashma will bring a raya. The kalase da avdan imarud. The daughter-in-law of avdan, who were ketanos apparently, didn't want to be with their husbands. They were running away from their husbands. So shadar Rebbe zugid rabbanan. Rebbe sent a pair of talmidim of the kinnum to go see what's going on, to see if they want to stay rebelling against their husbands and stay away from the husbands or not. So the women said that you see that your husbands are coming. Amri Luhu, so the Ketano said back, these girls said back, I wish they were your husbands, not our husbands. Meaning, we have no interest in these men. Amri Rebbe, so Rebbe says, from the fact that they have such an expression that they said, we wish they were your husbands, that sounds like they want out of this marriage. They're not interested in this. So my love, Dav Nesiva, isn't the case over here where they were already nesuos to the children of Avdan, and nevertheless we still say that this counts as a miyun? Says Marlo, Dav Mekatcha Kiddushin. No, you can't prove anything from there. Maybe they only had kiddushin. Maybe they didn't have nisuin. Halach Revalach Rabbidu Bemseira Afilu Benisuin Dekama. But the halach is we pass on Rabbidu Bemseira that a light form of miyun works, meaning a light form of miyun where it's not a direct statement, I don't want to be with this man, even if it's just accepting kiddushin from someone else or saying something like, I wish it was your husband and not mine, it works even to uproot nisuin, even if she had nisuin with the previous husband. Now we go weiter explaining the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar said in the Mishnah that whatever a katana does on her own, she's only like a mafuta. It doesn't count as maisa katana, doesn't count as anything. It's like the guy had convinced her to sleep with him. And therefore, if she's a Bas Yisrael that's married to a Kohen in this way, that she gave herself over for marriage to a Kohen, she cannot eat truma because she's not really married to a Kohen. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Chazarnu al kol tzadik chachamim. He said, we followed, we, went into all the different opinions of the Chacham. We didn't find anyone that really agrees with Rabbi Eliezer about a katana, because Rabbi Eliezer's shita is somewhat unusual. Think about how Rabbi Eliezer views this girl. He views her as if her kiddushin and nisuin isn't anything. Her kiddushin isn't anything, as she's like a girl that's just hanging out with this guy. And she's a bas kohen who's hanging out with this guy who's Yisrael. She gets up from being with him, v'tovelas, and she goes to the mikvah, and she goes and eats truma that night. So she's someone who has tashmish hamita needs harav shemesh in order to eat truma. She needs tefillah and harav shemesh in order to eat truma. So Shmuel holds that that's not mistaver at all. That we're not going to treat her at all like a married person. She's hanging out with this Yisrael. She's sleeping with this Yisrael, and she gets right out of this guy's bed and goes back to eat her father's truma. Very, very difficult to understand this shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, in Maisa Katana Klum. In the Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer again expresses that the Maisa Katana doesn't do anything. She's not married. If the Katana tries to get married on her own, it doesn't count as a marriage. Vein Balazaka, the husband doesn't have any of the normal rights of marriage in her. Ve'inu Yorsha, and he can't Yarshin her in Matamila, and if he's a Kohen, he can't become Tamiter. She's not like his wife at all, but even though there's no zechus nisuin that the husband has in her, nevertheless, she still requires miyun. Rabbi Shuah disagrees. He says, no, the husband does have certain rights. He does get her mitziah. He does get her ma'asidayim. Bafaras nedarah. He does have the ability to be made for nedarim. V'yorshav, she dies, he inherits her. Umetamila. And if he's a kohen, he's allowed to become tamiter. Kol shadavar, hareu ki ishto lechol davar. Ella she yotze b'miyun. No, she's really considered his wife. It's just that she's also yotze b'miyun. That's the takanas chacham, that she's considered ki ishto entirely, but nevertheless, miyun is enough to undo that marriage. I'm a Rabbi Nir and Divrei Rabbi Lezer, me Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. He says, of the two, Rabbi Lezer is more mustaver than Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Lezer hishva midosa biktana. At least Rabbi Lezer is consistent by saying that it doesn't count as anything, and therefore miyun would be enough to get rid of such a marriage, because it's not really a marriage to begin with. Rabbi Yeshua chalak, but what's Rabbi Yeshua doing? He's distinguishing the dinim from each other. He's saying, yeah, they're really married, but miyun is enough. What do you mean? If they're really married, then miyun shouldn't be enough to get rid of the marriage. So Gemara says, no, my chalak. Why is it Rabbi Shua's mechalak between whether he considers this a real marriage or not? So, in what way do you consider Rabbi Shua to be inconsistent? E ishtohi tibayigat. The reason you consider Rabbi Shua to be inconsistent is that if you're going to consider this woman to be married, then she should require a get. Miyun shouldn't be enough. Well, Rabbi Lazar is equally inconsistent. Rabbi Lazar not me. Ilav ishtohi miyunami latibai. If she's not his wife, then it shouldn't require miyun either. Meaning, you can't say that Rabbi Shua is being inconsistent because Rabbi Shua allows just miyun to end the marriage. If it's a real marriage, miyun shouldn't be enough. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't consider them married at all. Shouldn't even require miyun. Should require nothing. They're not married at all. Ella b'chdi tepuk. So the Gemara says, how could it be that Rabbi Eliezer holds that she's not that she still requires miyun? B'chdi tepuk. What, do you think she should go free without anything? Meaning, if she's acting like a married woman, she's sleeping with this guy ki'ilu she's married him, even though halachically he has no zuchus in her, we can't just let it go with nothing. So Rabbi Eliezer is not being inconsistent. Rabbi Eliezer is just saying that if she's acting like a married woman, you got to do something. So that's why they were misakin that you do miyun. And then the Mishnah went on to say that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said a cryptic line that any akava that's mina ish, it's ki'ilu she's his wife, and any akava that's ena mina ish, it's as if she's not his wife. So echidami, what are akava she mina ish, akava she'ena mina ish, what akava she'ena mina ish, what are these things? An akava that's mina ish, an akava that's ena mina ish, what's this talking about? We're going to have two possibilities. First possibility, I'm Rabbi Damar Shmuel. Tva'ua linase, if someone asks her, will you marry me? Guy sees her on the street and is falls in love with her and says, will you marry me? Va'amra. So how does she respond when she refuses the wedding proposal. Does she say, Machmas Ploni Baili, sorry, I'm already married, you know, I already have a husband, Zui Akavashimin Ish. That's her saying that she holds that she's really married, that she's being Megala, that she wants to be married to that husband. Otherwise, she wouldn't refuse other marriage proposals based on the excuse that she's married to her husband. But if she says, Machmas Ploni Adam Shenamu Ganimli, that I'm sorry, I'm not going to take your marriage proposal because you're just not right for me, so then Zui Akavashainim Inish. Then she's showing that she's not being Gores her first marriage at all. If she held that she was married, she wouldn't say, I'm sorry, I can't marry you because you're inappropriate for me. She would say, I can't, or because I'm not interested. She would say, I can't get married because I'm married to someone already. So that's the difference of Akava. So that's in that case, she wouldn't even require a miyun because it's an Akava that's Eina Mina Ish. If it's an Akava that's Mina Ish, then she would require a miyun. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Then the Gemara says a second possibility. Abai Barav and Rav Chanin Barav and Damri Taravayu. Abai Barav and Rav Chanin Barav and both explain that no, this is what it means. Nasan la get, Zui Akava Shi Mina Ish. That if he gives her a get, that's an Akava Mina Ish. The man is stopping the marriage from continuing. And once the husband gave her a get, he's not allowed to marry her relatives, she's not allowed to marry his relatives. She's considered a grusha, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. But Mianabo, if the marriage ended not with the man giving her a get, but her being mima'enes on him, then Zui Akava She'enem in Ish, then she's the one that's the driving force to end the marriage, and therefore they're considered as if they were never married. So he's allowed to marry her relatives, she's allowed to marry his relatives, and she's not a grusha. She's not pasul minakuna at all. So says Gemara, that's what this mission is telling me. Haktani lekaman, we're about to see in two lines from now, the next Mishnah is going to say, Hamima enes be'ish himut b'krovasevi, humut b'krovasevi, himutaris b'krovav, lo p'salim minakuna, nasan laget, hu asa b'krovasevi, yasu b'krov, p'salim minakuna. That halacha of the difference between whether the marriage of the katana ends with a get, where she's considered to be a grusha, and they're also to each other's krovim, or whether the marriage ends with miyun, where she's not considered to be divorced, and they're mutter to each other's krovim, that's the halacha in the very next Mishnah. We're about to get there. How could that be pshat in the last line of this Mishnah? So says Gemara, what do you mean, prushikam farish? Mishnahs often do that. The Mishnah will say a cryptic line, and then the very next line of the Mishnah will explain, Ketzad, what do I mean when I say, Akav minesh, Akav mini isha? You have to realize, these Mishnahs were all together. Just because they're split in the Talmud Bavli, they're all one big Mishnah. So this Mishnah that we're about to see now is just an elaboration on the last line of the previous Mishnah. So now, let's see the Mishnah. If a girl does miyun, they're mutter to each other's relatives, and she is not a grusha. She's not pasul lukuna. Nasan laget, if he gives her a get, then they're usher to each other's relatives, and she's pasul minakuna, because that counts as she's a real grusha now. Now, here's where it gets more interesting, more involved. Nasan laget v'chzira. Let's say the katana is married. He gives her a get, and then he remarries her. He's machzir grushasa katana, and then she's still a katana this whole time. Mianabo. Then she's mima enes. So she walks away from the marriage from the second marriage to the same guy with miyun. Unisis la'acher, and then she marries someone else. Vinisar melonis garsha, and she becomes an almano or gets divorced from this other guy. Can she go back to the first husband? The halacha is you're not allowed to be machzir grushasa after she marries someone else. Is this girl considered as grusha? He had divorced her once, but then he had remarried her after that divorce, and now their last marriage ended with miyun, and now she went to marry someone else and wants to come back to him. Is that called machzir grushasa? Or is it, do we view it as if there was only miyun, and therefore he's allowed to take her back? So lach is muteras lach solo. She's allowed to go back to the first husband. It says if all there was a miyun, even though their first marriage with the first husband ended with a get, so it should have been usher as a machzir grushaso, but since they were married a second time, and that time there was only miyun, so we view it as if it's being machzir mima anaso, not machzir grushaso, because the miyun on the second time is mevatel the original get. Miyana bovir, but what if it happened in reverse order? She marries husband number one and she does miyun, and then he remarries her. And then he gives her a get to end their second marriage, and then she goes and marries someone else and becomes an almana or grusha from that other husband. Now she's not allowed to go back to the first husband, because since the last marriage with the first husband ended in a get, so we view her as a grusha, and this is therefore a violation of maxer grusha. So zakal, the basic rule is get achar miyun, that even if many times she's mema enesbo and he keeps remarrying her, if the last time that they were married it ended with a get, and then she, based on that get, she went and got remarried to someone else, asura lachsalo, she's not allowed to go back to that first husband. But miyun achar get mutaris lachsalo. But if, no matter how many times she was married to the first husband, if the last marriage ended with miyun, so then even then she's going to be mutter to go back to him, even if she goes and marries someone else and divorces that other person. It's not a violation of machzir grushaso. So now the Mishnah goes on. Next case, hamima enes beish v'nisis la'achar. Let's say a girl does miyun and then she marries a second guy. Girsha, she then divorces, she gets divorced from the second guy. La'achar miyanabo, she marries a third guy and is mema enes on the third guy. La'achar v'girsha, then she marries a fourth guy and divorces the fourth guy, and some have a girsha of here, la'achar miyanabo. And then she marries a fifth guy and does miyan on the fifth guy. Now she wants to go back to one of the earlier husbands. Zaklal, the rule is very simple. Kol sheyotzei mena beget, asur lachsalo. Anyone whose marriage to him ended with a get, she's not allowed to go back to him, because that would be a violation of machzir grushaso. But b'miyun muteres lachsalo. But any marriage that ended with miyun, she's allowed to go back to that husband. So it's interesting. Any marriage that ended with a get, she's not allowed to go back to him, even if the subsequent marriage ended with miyun, where you could argue, what do you mean? She never married someone else, because the subsequent marriage ended with miyun, tells us that it was never really a marriage. So you think it's mutalakshmo. So the Gemara is going to pick on that point, right? Because the Mishnah said that when the same guy, when it's one guy that's megarish a girl, and then he's machzira, and then he does miyun on, and then she does miyun on him, and then she gets married to someone else, so she can go back to the first husband, even though the first time the first husband got rid of her, it was with a get, since the last time was only with miyun, that miyun is mevatel get, and she's not considered to be a grusha, she can go back to the first husband. So the Gemara is going to ask, wait a second, seems to be a stira in our Mishnah. Alma asi miyun mevatel get. It seems from our Mishnah that miyun, from the second marriage, is mevatel get of the first marriage, and she's not called his grusha, because the last time they parted ways, it was with miyun, it wasn't with a get, so she's not called his grusha. But it says in the Sefer HaMeme Enes Be'ish, V'nisis la'achar v'girsha, la'achar miyanabo, la'achar v'girsha, la'achar miyanabo, zaklal. Kol sheyotzei mena beget asur lachsalo, v'miyun muteres lachsalo. We said anyone whose marriage to her ended with a get, she's not allowed to go back to, but if it ended with miyun, she is allowed to go back to. So you see that even after the get of the first guy, there was miyun of the second guy, that miyun is not mafkia the get. It still counts as a get. Alma lo asi miyun de chavrei mevatel gita didei. Apparently, miyun done by a second guy is not mevatel a get done by an earlier guy. So isn't that a stira? The ratio of the Mishnah tells us that if one guy has two marriages to the same girl, the first one ends in a get, the second one in a miyun, the miyun is mevatel get, she's not a grusha at all. But if two guys, the Sefer tells us that if two guys marry the girl, the first guy's marriage ends with get and the second one with miyun, the get, she is considered a grusha. The get does count as a get. So I'm Rabbi Dorma Shmuel, Tavra, Mishanazu, Loshanazu. It's a steer in the Mishnah. You have to say that the two parts of the Mishnah were taught by two different people. It doesn't make sense to say it in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Amai Kusha, why is that at all a steer in the Mishnah? V'dilma miyun didei, mevatel geti dei, miyun dechavrei, lo mevatel geti dei. What do you mean? Maybe there's a difference between when it's the same guy versus someone else. If it's the same guy that marries her and then has miyun, that's going to be mevatel get. Someone else not going to be mevatel get. Why is someone else's miyun not mevatel her get? I did the makaris from Moshe from Kitzosav, Azlam Shabesh Maisila, that we're afraid that since she's familiar with his mannerisms and his way of hinting, that he's going to come and try to get her to be Mema Enes in the second marriage so he could take her back. Well, then his own mian shouldn't be mevatel his own get either, because I did the makaris from Moshe from Kitzosav, Azlam Shabesh. He's going to come and confuse her and cause her to be Mema Enes in the second husband, Maisila, and bring her and take her back. So says Mar, Hakvar Shibsha Lo Yishabsha. No, he already tried that, and she was Mema Enes. Meaning, he already tried to keep her, and she was Mema Enes. So we don't have that concern that she's going to be able to that he's going to be able to convince her to leave another husband. Eli I Kasha the Chavriya the Chavri Kasha. So rather, if there's going to be a stira that we're going to ask in the Mishnah, there's a better stira to ask. The stira is as follows: that Mian Abovach Zira Nasla Get Benisis Lachem Nesamla Neskarsha Asur Lachsalo. That if the first time she was married to the first husband, it ended with Miyun, and the second time was with a get, and then she gets married to someone else, so he's not allowed to take her back. Time of the Nisamal and Nisgarsha sounds like it's only because with the second husband there was a get, Hamiyana Muteris Lachsalo, but if with the second husband was only Miyun, she'd be allowed to go back to the first husband. Alma Asi Miyun the Chavrim Mevatel Gita Didei. So over here you see the other guy's Miyun is Mevatel his get, or a mini, but I'll ask you, Sira Menes Bish Venises Laacher Vigirsha Laacher Miyana Bozaklal, Kol Shiats Mena Beget Asura Lachsalo, Vimiyun Muteris Lachsalo. Alma lo asimiyun the chavrim vatal gita today, but the seifa still remains the same, and the seifa still says that someone else's miyun is not able to be mevatel your get. So Amar Blazer Tavra Mishana Zulo Shana Zuz. You have to say that that whoever taught one part of the Mishnah didn't teach the other part of the Mishnah. Ula Amar Kigon Shashil Shabigitin. Ula says, no, you don't have to say that it's two different Tanaim in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about where he divorced her three times with a get. The Mechazi Kigdola. If a same katana has three gitin already, so then already that's a very not common case, and then someone else's mean is not going to be able to vatel a get of three different people. That's why the girsa mattered over there in the Mishnah when he kept on saying la'acher v'nisa v'miyana la'acher v'girsa. That we needed to come up with a case where there are three gittin. It's dafka when there are three gittin that it's not going to work. Okay, we are a little bit behind, but we're going to have to stop there. But we'll pick up from there tomorrow.